Welcome back to Unexpected Adventures in North Alabama, part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network. Today's episode is all about Ivy Green, the birthplace of Helen Keller, located in Tuscumbia. Our guest today is Sue Pilkleton from Tuscumbia, and she is the executive director at the birthplace of Helen Keller, a historical museum and the childhood home of America's First Lady of Courage. Sue's first experience at the birthplace of Helen Keller was for a school project. The following summer, she got a job working at the gift shop, a job that kept her busy through high school. And now she is the executive director of the museum since 1981 and loves every minute. Right, Sue?
Exactly right.
Thank you so much for being here. And so can you tell us just a little bit more about yourself?
Well, I've been married to the same person for 47 years. I have two beautiful children. I have four beautiful grandchildren. So I've been truly blessed. But I've also been so blessed to be able to work in a place where I dearly love to come to work every day. It's more like a mission for me.
Yeah, that saying where when you love what you do, you never work a day in your life, right?
That's right.
And you have done such an amazing job there. I mean, people come from all over the world to see Helen Keller's birthplace. So that is so cool. Well, tell us about the role that Ivy Green played in Helen's life.
Well, of course, as a small child, they had a plantation of 640 acres. She was a normal child until the age of 19 months. And then, of course, she had a very high fever that left her deaf and blind. So Helen grew up at Ivy Green. Until the age of 8, she went to Perkins School in Boston, but she would come back every summer and during winter vacations as long as her family lived there. So it was a big part of her life growing up.
Yeah. Now we also, when you hear about Helen Keller, you also hear about Annie Sullivan. So what role did she play in Helen Keller's life?
Well, when you visit the Helen Keller birthplace, we often talk about Annie Sullivan's importance in Helen Keller's life. We really feel that it took the two to make the one. If Annie Sullivan had not arrived in 1887 here in Tuscumbia, I don't think the world would have ever known of Helen Keller. She was the backbone that pushed Helen to do what she did.
Yeah, and so she taught her how to read and write in Braille, correct?
She was the one that started spelling things in her hand at a very young age when she arrived here. And of course, later Helen went to school. She learned Braille and she learned how to communicate. But Annie Sullivan never left her side from the time she arrived here in 1887 until her death in 1936.
That is so cool. So when did Helen's home become a tourist attraction?
The city of Tuscumbia bought the home from the family in the early 50s. And in 1954, they opened the doors for visitors to tour.
Okay. And if we visit Ivy Green, what are some of those popular tourist spots that we've got to see?
Well, of course, the water pump. That is the most important part of Ivy Green. We often say that that plain black pump speaks many languages because we have thousands of visitors from all over the world each year to come. And they may have difficulty understanding us, but when they walk out the back door and they see the pump, they begin to speak in their own language and they start taking photographs. So that is a very important focal point of the birthplace.
Yeah. And share with us that story that happened there at that pump.
Well, Helen Keller, of course, was very unruly for so long because her mom and dad let her just do whatever she wanted to do. She would eat out of everyone's plate. She just did what she wanted to do because they did not know how to cope with a deafblind child. But when Aunt Sullivan arrived, Anne did not like Helen trying to eat out of her plate. So at that time, she decided that she needed to get Helen away from her family to let her become dependent on her. So they put her in a carriage and they drove her all around the 640-acre cotton plantation and brought her right back next door to the main house. Helen thought she was going far away, but she was just actually coming next door. So for 2 weeks, they stayed there. Helen began to fold her napkins. She began to have nice manners. And then she brought her right back into the main house after 2 weeks. Well, what does most children do? They start acting up when they get around their parents. So Annie Sullivan took her from the table and took her out to the water pump. And she began to spill water into her hand. And they said all of a sudden, it was like her mind opened up. And she realized that the coolness that was running off of Anne's hand, spilling into hers, was water. That was the breakthrough. That day she learned over 30 words.
Oh, wow.
Her IQ was over 160.
That is so cool. And that story gives me chills. I love that.
Well, we have a play each summer. We're going into our 62nd year. But when that breakthrough comes at the water pump, I tear up and I know it's coming. But also I see grown men and women cry at the water pump scene. It's very emotional.
And that just speaks volumes to the, you know, that story and that moment that, I mean, even you who've seen it that many times, that it still gets you. That's awesome. Well, you mentioned the Miracle Worker play. Tell us about that play.
We are the official outdoor drama for the state of Alabama. We have been performing the Miracle Worker on the grounds of Ivy Green since 1961. We have people from all over the world that come each summer to see the play. It runs 6 weeks, Friday and Saturday evenings. And you know, Malia, anyone can put on the play. I've been to New York and I saw it on Broadway and I was so excited to be there. A little Southern girl seeing a Broadway production. It was a dream come true. But as I sat there and at the end of it, at the water pump, I just did not get the feeling that I get every Friday and Saturday night seeing the play. And I couldn't understand why. You know, I thought it's such a remarkable story. So on the flight back home, I thought, why couldn't I get that feeling? And then it hit me. Anyone can put on the play.
Right.
But at the birthplace of Helen Keller, you experience the play. That's where the miracle took place. No one can take that away from us. Yeah. I think that's one reason we've been so successful for 62 almost years.
Yeah, that is so cool. And it's, like you said, that magic of the place, the experiencing, you know, that moment and seeing where it happened. And you had a very special guest a few years ago. You want to tell us about that guest and his emotional visit?
Well, you know, we have celebrities all the time that walk through the doors of Ivy Green, and most of them don't want to be recognized. But on that April day, I was in the office and my hostess buzzed me and she said, "Hey, Steven Tyler is on his way out." And I said, "Wow. Oh, good, just send him on." She said, "It is the Steven Tyler." So I looked out the door and I guess I screamed. I didn't remember doing that, but I got control of myself. And so I tried to be so professional when I went out to meet him, you know, and I shook his hand and I said, "Hi, I'm Sue Pilkington, the executive director. So glad you're here." And he said, "Baby, I heard you scream." And I said, "Well, welcome to the South. Nothing like a redneck." And he said, "Oh, you're not a redneck." So he spent a little over an hour with us, probably besides Patty Duke, the most gracious celebrity we've ever had. And he said, they kept telling him, "We've got to go." And he finally looked at him and he said, "Listen, I have always wanted to visit here. I've studied Helen and Annie all my life. I love the story and I'm not leaving until I'm finished." So they never reminded him again it was time to leave. But he was a great guest. We really enjoyed having him.
Yeah, I guess Steven Tyler leaves when Steven Tyler wants to leave.
That's
right?
Exactly right. And of course, we wanted him to stay forever. We wanted to go into the cottage. And of course, we let him go wherever. And he played the organ and he would not remember to pump. It was a pump organ. And every time he would stop pumping, the music would stop and he would look up like, "What am I doing wrong?" So that was kind of fun to see as well.
That is so cool. Yeah, I remember that when that happened. So neat. Now, you mentioned Patty Duke came to visit.
Patty Duke became the spokesperson for the Helen Keller Birthplace Foundation until her death. But I never will forget walking up the walkway with her. And all of a sudden, she took my hand. And she was such a petite, I think she was probably 4'9" or so. I had to look down at her. And tears was flowing from her face. And she said, "Finally, my spirit has come home." She said, "I owe my acting career to Helen Keller. If I had not played the role of Helen in The Miracle Worker, I would not have been discovered." She said, "So I owe it all to her."
Wow, that is twice now that I've gotten chills from stories that you've told.
Now you know why. I love my job, Malia.
Yes, yes. I can definitely see why now. Well, what other favorite stories do you have about Helen Keller that took place at the house?
Well, you know, we often tell when you arrive about the time she locked Annie Sullivan in her bedroom, and Captain Keller couldn't find the key. And he was so angry, they said he took the ladder and just threw it on the house, which it shook the house. And it made a vibration. And Helen was on the front porch laughing because she could feel the vibration of her daddy being so angry. And yeah. Ann Sullivan had to climb out the window. And months later, they found the key out by the water pump. So she loved to lock doors. She loved, she locked her mother in the pantry one day, and her mother stayed 2 hours. So she was a little devil from time to time.
That's funny. A little personality there, huh? That's funny. Any other stories that stand out?
Well, one day there was a storm and she was in a tree, and Ann Sullivan had to climb up the water oak and get her down because the wind and the rain was starting to come. And it was a historical tree. And in 2015, a tornado came through Ivy Green, a small tornado, and it took down the tree, the historical tree. And just so happened, the fall before, the a gentleman in Tennessee came and got seedlings from the historical tree. And he called me and he said, "You're not believe this." He said, "The little seedlings that I got last fall," he said, "we have some beautiful little oak trees. And I would like to come and plant a tree in the place of the one that the tornado took down." And I said, "Sure." So just so happened, my grandson, who was in the second grade at Russellville Elementary, his class came. And so they had the opportunity and the privilege to plant the new tree out in the front yard. So the newspaper asked asked the group, they said, "Well, with the Helen Keller tree being taken down, what are we going to name this tree?" And I never will forget my little grandson, who was 7 at the time. He said, "Duh, we're going to call it the Annie Sullivan tree." So now we have the Annie Sullivan tree out front, and it's beautiful. So, you know, things happen all the time that really, truly bring back a lot of memories to me.
That is so cool. Your grandson, that's perfect. Perfect name there. So tell us, what is your favorite part about working at the Helen Keller home?
I think my favorite part is coming to work every day and meeting the visitors. You know, we have so many people from all over the world that visit each day at the birthplace. We're so fortunate. COVID, it was devastating to everyone. Mm-hmm. But at the Helen Keller birthplace, being a 501c3, we have to rely on people walking through our door. Yeah. When the governor closed us down, we had 125 field trips scheduled March through May. And we booked probably 30 more field trips. You're looking at thousands of children. And even though I worked every day in my office, you know, I counted my blessings that I was able to work and get some things done. But I began to see the financial strain that it was going to take with just the field trips. And we lost over $150,000 in just admission revenue during the close down because of the schools. But, you know, coming to work every day, being able to visit with the people that come through, getting their reaction. And, you know, so many times we have people that they found out that their son or daughter's deaf, have become deaf or blind or born that way. And they come for inspiration. We want Helen's story to always be there, to be able to be an inspiration to everyone. You know, I just love it. I love telling the story and realizing that Helen Keller's work is still being done today. And many people say, "How?" Well, in 1925, she went to the Lions International and she asked them to become the Knights for the Blind. Mm-hmm. At that time, the Lions took on the challenge. So the work you see Lions Clubs doing today around the world mm-hmm. with their PSY program is because of Helen Keller. Oh, so wow. her work is still being done.
That is so cool. And there's also a Camp Courage that y'all do in the summertime. Is that correct?
Last year, COVID got us again. So we bumped it up to the spring. Each summer, we invite children from all over the United States to come to a free camp. We have sponsors, and they come on Thursday, and they leave on Sunday. They do pottery, candle making. They go fishing with a local bass team. They have fun days on the farm. We have a luau for them. And the parents are not allowed to come during the day. We learn after the first year. Parents, we have things for you to do. And we partner with the University of North Alabama, mm-hmm. the students there that's going into special education. Mm-hmm. And then we have the Helen Keller Fellows. Teachers that have their doctorate in that field, they yeah. come. And the children stay in a local, the Coldwater Inn located here in Tuscumbia. And, you know, Malia, so many of the children come from low-income backgrounds. They've never been in a hotel. Yeah. And, for example, this past April when we had Camp Courage, one of the little girls, she lives with her grandparents, and they live in government housing. And when Jennifer walked in and saw the cold water in, she said, "Meemaw, we're at a mansion." And aww. We all kind of smiled, didn't want to laugh. And then the grandmother told me that she went up to the room and she said, "Meemaw, do I get to have my own bed?" Because she shares a bed with her brother and sister. Now, those mm-hmm. things we take for granted. I know my grandchildren do and my mm-hmm. children. But for them to be able to go and have a nice bed to sleep in instead of the floor or on the couch. And the pottery, they do pottery and we have it fired. And we usually send it for Christmas for them to give their parents. Mm-hmm. They do candles using the scents of magnolia and roses because Helen Keller often talked about that. Yeah. And they'll make a special candle for their mother. In the beginning, we noticed that the children were like taking at the dinner table, and it was like taking a knife and cutting their meal in two, and they wanted to take it with them. Well, we couldn't understand why. But actually, they thought they were taking it to their parents to eat. And we would now say, "Now, listen, Mom and Dad, they have all the food they want. So y'all just eat what you want." And you'd be surprised how well their appetite kicks in when they realize that they don't have to share their food with their mom and dad. Yeah. But it's a wonderful experience. And on Saturday night, we have a beautiful banquet. And Tammy can tell you, there's not a dry eye at that banquet by the time the children get to their testimony and also the UNA students. Yeah. It's really something to experience.
What a beautiful experience. And I'm sure it's good for the parents as well to have a support group where they can talk about, you know, the struggles that they have as well while the kids are, you know, getting a little
independent. So many parents say, "We haven't been by ourselves in 9 years," or, "Oh, we didn't know about that law." You know, we have a professor at UNA. She comes in and has a class for the parents on Friday and tells them about grants and about laws, and they have lunch. And then we give them coupons to go to the museums, different museums around, and while we are taking care of their children. And so that's very important.
Yeah, that is so cool. Such an amazing experience for everyone. And I know even for you who put it on, that it's amazing to see.
Oh, it really is. It's a blessing. It really is.
That is so cool. Well, before we wrap up, what do you think makes the Helen Keller Birthplace so fascinating to visit? What is, if you could sum it up, what would you say?
Well, number one, she's in the history books. Children are fascinated with Helen Keller's story. Yeah. But also people have read about her through the years. And, you know, their dream is to come and visit. And, yeah. you know, a few years ago, Texas wanted to take her out of their curriculum. And there was such an uprise. It was several people, but Helen was one of them. And a blind activist who was a lawyer, he wrote a very strong letter to Texas. And he said, "Because of Helen Keller, I am what I am today. My mother told me every day of my life." if Helen Keller, who was deaf and blind, could accomplish the things she did, there is not anything you cannot do. So Texas kept her in their textbooks. So we're very pleased about that. But, you know, her story is worldwide, all over the world. The little girl that was deafblind who graduated, the first deafblind to ever graduate from college. And, you know, that was a big deal back then.
Yeah, that is so cool. Well, each week we ask our Facebook followers what question they would like to have answered on our podcast. And so the winning question is, are there any accommodations for persons with disabilities to better enjoy their visit or experience at Ivy Green?
We have beautiful walks that wheelchairs can be accommodated. If you're deaf, we have a brochure that tells you exactly what our hostess says. If you have difficulty going upstairs, we have a picture book that shows you the beautiful rooms in full color. With Helen Keller's home being on the historical landmark, you know, you can't put elevators to go upstairs or anything. Right. You want really to keep it as original. When you go out to the water pump, you can open the gate, go right in and touch the pump. So we try to focus and make people as comfortable as we possibly can.
That is so cool. Well, I so appreciate you being here with us today. You are such an asset to tourism, and we are very grateful that you've been at the Helen Keller home as long as you have.
Well, I can't say I'll be here another 50 years, but you know, I plan to be here for a while.
Yes, and we hope that you are. So for our listeners out there, can you tell us where they can find the Helen Keller home on social media?
Yes, we have a Facebook page. We also have a wonderful HelenKellerBirthPlace.org they can go to. It has a lot of information. Or they can call 256-383-4066.
All right. Well, thank you so much. And North Alabama's social platforms are linked in the description. And if you're listening to us on Apple Podcasts, would you do us a huge favor and leave us a rating and a written review? We would so appreciate it. Thanks for joining us, and we'll be back next time with more about North Alabama adventures.